Welcome to Spilly on the Rocks. It is Cinco de Sixo. Or is today Cinco de Mayo? What I don't even know anymore. What is today? Today is Cinco de Mayo. You're probably listening to this on Mayo de Cinco de Sixo. It was uneventful for me on Cinco de Mayo. Nobody partied with me. No margaritas taken. It was a day off, thank God. And of course, I had this crazy honeydew list when I got home. I'm curious, like, how many people, when you travel a lot, or you know, if like you come home and maybe you want to like reconnect with the family, any of that stuff? And the answer is no. You have to do this list of goods. You have to do this list. The love language for my wife is chores. So I try to speak that language today. I was not having it. I ended up spending about 3 hours in the actually more than that, in the garage, just getting rid of stuff that doesn't bother me, but obviously it I'm not home, so can't argue with that. So the Rockies, here we are. We are now May 6th. I'm doing this May 5th, celebrating Cinco de Mayo. But some of the guys have continued to struggle. So Rockies had just finished the road trip. They went to San Francisco as a 4-game series. They didn't score. They won one game there, which was actually a really good game. But a 4-game series, and the Giants starters were fantastic. So they lose that series. Didn't really like, not much of a fight there. The one game that they did win was awesome. Zach Agnos, another save, fantastic. I think I talked about that already. Agnos, easy person to cheer for. So they lost on Sunday, 9-3. They lost on Thursday to Justin Verlander. They just haven't been able to get anything going. I will point out though that we did see Herman on Sunday look pretty damn good. So that is good news for anybody that covers or watches the Rockies. Like Herman, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, the record is the record. The ERA is not good, but the stuff looks good. It's starting to get better. So they lose on Sunday, they lose on Saturday, 6-3. They lose on Friday, 4-0, and then they win the first game on Thursday. So they had the back-to-back wins. First, last team in Major League Baseball in 2025 to win back-to-back games, and that was on May 1st. May 1st. So where are we at? The Tigers are coming into town. I'm gonna pause on the Tigers for a second, and then the Padres come in right after because I want to do something a little different. I'm gonna give you a little bit of a power ranking. I know people do power rankings on Monday, so I'll give you a power ranking because I've seen a bunch of these teams now. Doing my Friday night games, I saw Pirates in San Diego, so you'll get a chance to see San Diego in person if you come this weekend. You'll also see Detroit, which is my favorite team in the American League. Easily my favorite team in the American League. There's a bunch of things that they do exceptionally well. Hopefully we get to that point. Like we as Rockies fans, hopefully we get to see the Rockies play to that level. I don't put myself like I'm not in the organization. I can tell you say that I'm not in the organization. I root my tail off for them. I bleed purple. I did have some former Rockies players that went to San Francisco Giants games this weekend. And they were obviously disappointed. It's kind of hard to see it, right? Like it's your team. It's like your high school team. And if your high school team starts doing bad, like you hear about it, and you're like, dang, when I was there, it was good. when I was with UCSB, I still follow with UCSB. They had a tough streak, but they're a good team. Yeah, great program. You know, you just follow the program. I follow the Rockies program. I follow the Rangers program. I follow the Guardians program. I follow the Cebu Lions program. Those are all teams that I played for. So I follow these, you know, I follow an MPB team. I follow an American League team, two of them, which is kind of news too, because I think as you look around the league, once you hit May is when you start seeing some like national changes to teams. So in the case of the Texas Rangers on Sunday, they fired their hitting coordinator, who was part of the Texas Rangers when they won the World Series back in 2023. God, time's flying. And that guy's name is Donnie Eckert. Good dude, really smart, baseball guy, has a good understanding of hitting. The team can't hit. Rangers can't hit. There's a bunch of teams out there that cannot hit. Baltimore is in a position right now where, they're expected to be really good. They're not. Their record right now is, let me check it really quick. Baltimore's record right now is 13 and 20. Oh, that would be a scary spot to be in. If you're a coach in Baltimore's organization, yeah, the sky is falling. Toronto Blue Jays, man, like that's another team where expectations are really high. They're 16 and 18. They're kind of in this position where like losing streaks are kind of freaky. I was on that team in 2009. 2009 was when the Rockies were supposed to be good, and we were garbage, garbage through like May. And then they made changes, right? Like, I think I've talked about this. If I haven't, I'll tell you a quick story. So, Clint Hurdle was the manager of that team. First manager I ever saw fired was Clint Hurdle. Jim Tracy came in as a bench coach. There's a couple of mistakes that the offseason made. That was the offseason of trading Matt Holliday. He didn't accept the extension that Dan O'Dowd offered to him. That one is well documented. There was a, he was looking for a no trade clause. They weren't willing to give him the full no trade clause. As a Rockies, you probably want to do a limited no trade clause if you're going to do some sort of extension. You don't want to do a full no trade clause. You can also do a no trade clause where the first 3 years are no trade, and then it starts to open up. Maybe five teams by year four, eight teams by year five, and then maybe 10 teams by year six. That way, you have some flexibility if you have to move on. 6 years is a long time. So, anyways, you could be creative about that. Rockies were kind of like dug their heels in the in and said like we're not going to offer a no trade clause. The deal to Matt Holliday would have been well below market value. He knew that, but he also really wanted to be a Rocky. But after you turn down a massive deal, which is what Holliday did, you had free agency coming, and the Rockies had to make a move. And if you go back and you look at that deal, that Dan O'Dowd made, fantastic deal, really good deal. Traded for Carlos Gonzalez. You got Greg Smith, who kind of had a cup of coffee, but Houston Street was part of that contract as well. And like in the time frame that Holliday was with Oakland, he was only there for a handful of months, and then Oakland spun him around to St. Louis, and then the rest is history. He ends up winning a World Series with the Cardinals a couple of years down the road. Worked out great. Cardinals extended him. He's an all-time Cardinal. He's in the Cardinals Hall of Fame, which, by the way, we need a Rockies Hall of Fame. I've been pushing for that for a long time. I'd love to see like a purple coat, somebody with a purple coat, right? Like the obvious ones for a Rockies Hall of Fame: Helton, Walker, Galarraga, Bichette, Holliday, Tulo, Cargo. I mean, Jorge De La Rosa, Ubaldo. Like, there's a bunch of guys that deserve like a Rockies Hall of Fame. Aaron Cook, Tito Fuentes. I mean, a bunch of guys that deserve to be in there. John Gray, eventually, when he's done, Kyle Freeland will be in that mix. Herman will be in that mix for a Rockies Hall of Fame. You probably look at a Trevor Story, possible. They're like a probably Ryan McMahon, like Ryan McMahon, Brenton Doyle. Eventually, Ezekiel Tovar when his career is over. So, like that, like Rockies Hall of Fame would be pretty cool. You can, even reflect some of the past. People that have been part and instrumental to the organization: Bob Gephardt, Jerry McMorris. There's a bunch of names, right? Like, there's a bunch of people that have helped the organization. You can say, you can say, McGregor. Like McGregor should be in there. Kelly McGregor should be a Hall of Famer for the Rockies. So like there's a bunch of people in the front office that deserve, like some accolades. Regardless, that deal in 2009, so what happened was is the Rockies were expected to win. And we get off to a horrendous start, just terrible start. And at, we start coming into May, and now we're 10 games below 500. And Clint Hurdle ends up falling on the sword. Falls on the sword for the organization. It was like, I think they need a new voice. And to be honest, in a way, he was kind of right. Like, Hurdle was part of this 2007 run. I'll never forget the day when he walked in. It was like I am done. I fell on the sword. Like, I expect better from you guys, and clearly, it is time for a change. I kind of agree with it at the time. Like, I felt really bad about it. I think our clubhouse felt really bad about it. So the shakeup was not just from Hurdle's standpoint, but we also saw an influx of new talent. Ian Stewart got called up. So Garrett Atkins, who was an all-star, really good player, wasn't performing well. They bring in Ian Stewart. He's going to play third base. They sit this guy down named Spilborgs, who at that time, you want to look at some stats. I was leading the National League in doubles. I was doing pretty good. I was like all over the place in the lineup. But they end up calling up this guy, Carlos Gonzalez. And, I joke around, and I think I could say this on this podcast. But like the first 100 at bats for Cargo were brutal, terrible. And here's a guy that, I think he had the weight, he had some weight on him being part of this trade with Matt Holliday. And like he wasn't having fun. Like he was playing like so hard. He was trying so much. And the first 100 at bats were god awful. And I told him because I was, I was in mourning for my mom. I was having like some off-field kind of demons that I was battling. My wife was pregnant with our first kid. I just got married. I was arbitration eligible for the first time. So like I really wanted to play. I didn't love that Jim Tracy took over and didn't tell me my role. I didn't love that. But I also understood like this guy Cargo is way better than me. Like a million times better than me. And at the end of it, we all know like Cargo is an all-timer. But during that time frame where Cargo was struggling, I came up to him and like I put my arm around him. I was like, dude, you're not having fun. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and watch you pout if like that's not very much fun for me. You're a Bolsa de Mierda. You can look that up. Google Translate Bolsa de Mierda. That's basically what I called him. And my nickname for him from that point on was Bolsa. Bolsa, which means bag. He finally just like let it go, right? Like once you get to a point where in your career you realize like my numbers suck. I need to have fun, just like play the game the way like I'm accustomed to. That's usually when guys take off. So I saw Hurdle get fired. That team turned around. You can go back to this four-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals. We swept them in St. Louis. And the rest is history. Like that team took off. Bunch of things going for them really well. We had basically a five-man pitching staff that stayed healthy. So there were five guys or dudes. You had Jorge, you had Ubaldo, you had Jason Marquis, who was an all-star. You had Aaron Cook, and you had Jason, was it Jason Hamill? So that group was like awesome. Great group. And they took off. Rockies don't have that to turn this thing around. They don't. But in other organizations, for example, like I mentioned, Texas Rangers, maybe there's a bit of a shock to the system that Donnie Eckert got fired. Baltimore is probably in a place where you might see a change. From a national standpoint, like I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Hyde ended up getting removed from that spot. Does he deserve it? No. Coaches never deserve it. They never deserve it. No manager deserves to get fired. No coaching staff deserves to get fired because it's player performance. But what happens to a player group when a guy gets fired, you feel responsible. And like the new guy that comes in, they don't really do much. There's not a lot that they do. It's not like, what are you gonna say? Hit the ball, see it and hit it. Well, yeah, that's what we're trying. Like all these guys are trying. But sometimes there's a guilt factor. The guilt factor can lead to players going like, whoa, what do I have to do to get back to just playing this game? I don't want to lose another coach. You feel bad for it because it is such a difficult spot to be a hitting coach. It is such a difficult spot to be a manager. You are In a way, you're handcuffed to the players that are on your roster. And when they don't perform, there's not much a front office can do other than like maybe there's some personnel changes you can make, but if that's your group, there's you can't fire players. You just can't. Like, and there's nobody in the minor leagues that you can call up unless you have a Cargo or an Ian Stewart. And in the Rockies case, like, you're not getting rid of Ryan McMahon anytime soon. You're not calling up Kyle Karros. And if you do, it's at the sake of somebody like a Michael Tolia. So, like, that's why I keep saying, like, any sort of concept of the Rockies changing personnel from a coaching standpoint doesn't do much. Like, the roster isn't good enough to, like, spin it around. The 2009 Rockies was like a roster that could be refreshed a little bit from people within, and then it was a shock to the system. That's exactly what it was. The shock kind of kicks players in the rear. You also have to understand, like, there are plenty of examples of teams turning it around, not because of some sort of personnel change with a coach or a manager or like a front office. It just happens to be that the team got healthy. They got healthy. Like, they got their best players back. And if their best players are back, they're going to play better. So in the case of Baltimore, like, using them as an example, and I follow them because I do all this national TV work, Baltimore's roster is completely flawed. They have all these players that are on the IL that are still coming back from injury. So it's a little bit unfair. But, from an optic standpoint, for to a fan base, it's like, yeah, see, we're making changes. Like, we deserve better. We demand better. And sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. I want to show you a couple things because I love always showing you where we're at. So I'm going to pull up some stuff on the players and where the Rockies currently are. And hopefully I don't trick myself too bad. So the Yankees right now, 19 and 15. I told you I do a little power ranking. So for me, the best team in the American League is the Detroit Tigers. They're 22 and 13. It's not just the record that I look at, plus 63 run differential. That's the best in the American League. There's a bunch of things. I like the overall constitution and construction of the roster. If I go to baseball reference, you can see Tigers number one in wins above replacement. Fantastic. They've been really, they've put it together. Then you got Tigers, Mets, Cubs, Yankees, Padres. So according to wins above replacement, which is not a good indicator, because it doesn't show you wins and losses, but these are on paper the best five teams. Beyond that, to give you like to give you the opposite of it. So here's the Tigers at number one with six wins above replacement. Would you be surprised? Jesus, I didn't realize it was that low. The Rockies are minus nine in wins above replacement. So obviously not my power ranking. I also like looking at this. So, Statcast numbers, they give me a lot of stats that I can use, which are based on exit velocity and quality of contact. The highest weighted on base average, which is actually a pretty good stat. It's called WOBA. I'm not going to get into it, but the Yankees are number one. You got the Cubs. You got the Dodgers. Surprise, surprise. Mariners, who are doing really well. Diamondbacks, and then the Tigers again. Yankees, Boston, Phillies, and Oakland. Oakland's been smashing the ball. Rockies are dead last in this one. I pulled up this one too because I think it's important to note. A lot of the offensive struggles of the Rockies, because the bullpen's been fantastic, has been this chase percentage. So chase percentage right now, Rockies are third worst in baseball. You have the Rangers, part of the reason why there was a change, and then the Padres. But also, that's a little bit misleading because as much as you see this chase percentage number at 31%, their zone contact, so their percentage of contact is at 86%, which I would probably argue is the top in baseball. I was right. So you can have chase as long as you have contact. So there you go. And then the last one that I wanted to pull up was the overall records one last time. So to me, the best teams of baseball that I've seen, Giants, Padres, Dodgers, Cubs are really good. Reds are interesting. Mets are good. Phillies are getting really old really fast. And then in the American League, it really is Mariners, Tigers, Guardians continue to amaze me. They're 20 and 14. Yankees and Red Sox are pretty good. We saw Tampa. Don't ever fall asleep on Tampa. So if I was to power rank, baseball in general, I would tell you, look, the Dodgers are still a really good team. To me, the best team that I've seen in the National League is the Padres. Padres are on a five game winning streak because they just swept the Pirates. I would say Padres won. I would probably point to the Dodgers because the roster, and they've actually played really well this last week. They'd probably go Padres, Dodgers, Cubs, believe it or not, Mets, and then you'd have the Detroit Tigers. So if I was to power rank my teams right now based on what I've seen, it is those five teams. As far as the Rockies goes, again, there is limited signs of any sort of positive movement. Herman pitched well. It was good to see Kyle Freeland get a start. I talked about that the other day. He's now the all-time leader in starts for a Rockies starter. He's number one. I love that because he's a Denver native. Jordan Beck has been hitting the ball well. Hunter Goodman, who I'm still like, I really want to like him. I do like him a lot. It's just the length of his swing is just so long, and the contact percentages are not high enough for me to like really buy in. But I see a lot of signs. Brent Doyle's been struggling. He'll get going. Ryan McMahon's been struggling, probably the worst I've ever seen. But he's slowly starting to feel it. He hit a homer the other day against Justin Verlander. That was really necessary. So snapped a 0-for-less streak. But you know, when it comes to this week, now that the Tigers are in town, and when the Tigers come into town, I think it's such a great blueprint of where I'd love the Rockies to go. The Tigers, if you watch them at all, and there's a good chance that there's no game Tuesday because it's going to rain. Most likely we'll see a doubleheader on Wednesday or Thursday is my guess. But as you watch this Tigers team, and if the Rockies were to take their blueprint, which takes a little bit of time, their roster is comprised to use the entire roster for every single game. Obviously, you can't count on all the starters to be used in every game, but starter will be used, and then they'll use the full complement of the bullpen. They use everybody. The roster, when it comes to their position players, they will sub them out like it's the Avs. Sorry, Avs fans. But they will sub out full line change. If Kyle Freeland starts, they'll start with righties, and then the second you flip and go to the bullpen, they'll swap him out, and then they'll leverage you in those middle in innings with your relievers. So they'll get a platoon advantage every single time. They also run the bases like crazy, crazy, crazy well. They also hit for power. So like they meet all the aspects that I look for when I'm looking and judging a team: quality of contact, use of a roster, not, you know, striking out, pitching, overall pitching, and then the quality of defense. They're a really good defensive unit. So all in all, this week we're going to see the Padres that I just told you are the best team in baseball, and the Tigers. So two of my top five teams you'll see at Coors Field. So it'll be fun to watch that baseball. Hopefully the Rockies punch right back. I don't think we're going to see any young players coming up from the minor leagues anytime soon. Still not there. Sean Sullivan's coming back from his hip injury. Carson Palmquist has been pitching really well in AAA. And Gabriel Hughes, who was, I believe he was an Eastern League pitcher of the week, maybe the month, but he's been really good. So former top prospect, former top draft pick is doing really well. So some of these guys are pitching well in the minor leagues. I want to see him. Eventually, I want to see him. We've seen some really good arms coming up to the Rockies. They've performed really well. Just look at the back end of the bullpen. See, Mejia's been awesome. I love Cass Halverson. I've been really impressed with Angel Chevallier. You know, Vodnik has been hurt with the shoulder issue, but he's been good. So there's been some really good young players that have had the opportunity to pitch, and they look good. Like they could pitch in a lot of other big league pitching staff. So that's a good sign. But the rest of it, a lot of work left to do.